What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen here with you. Rob Reese, guest James Harding, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Monday morning edition, waiver wire time. What's up, guys?
What's up, James? Welcome back. Maybe some of the best waiver wire names of the whole season today.
It's going to be a fun one today, guys. And a quick shout out just to open up. Happy birthday to the goalie master himself, Dave Satriano. Quote came across my my Facebook this morning that it is his birthday. So shout out to Dave to, you know, open up.
Hey, you're a better friend than I am. I didn't know it was his birthday. Happy birthday, Davey, if you're listening.
Goalie master paying dividends as usual, right? He's always answering people's questions in the wee hours of the night. He stays up later than anybody on this show, I would say, on a nightly basis.
Does Dave actually sleep? Like, I don't know if he does.
No, he doesn't.
I could text Dave at 7 o'clock in the morning or at 1 o'clock in the morning, and 90% of the time he answers. So hats off to Dave for being a dedicated hockey analyst. And yeah, James, so looking at the weekend, I think one of my biggest takeaways from the weekend was like the Minnesota Wild are for real, right? They won both games against the LA Kings. We've talked a lot about their top line, but how good has this team been? I know you picked them to make the playoffs, but the Wild are seriously like paying fantasy dividends right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think it's really that surprising when we saw what they did last year. We saw them starting to come along. We saw Kevin Fiala starting to become the player that, you know, we had expected him to be in Nashville, and it just didn't work out there. And of course, we were all very, very high on Kaprizov coming over from the KHL, and he is absolutely proving to be completely worth the hype. You know, that team was always good and solid defensively with that core that they had back there. I think that, you know, the surprising thing is definitely Matt Zuccarello, who's been a viable fantasy contributor in the past, especially, you know, when he was on the Rangers and when he was in Dallas, you know, for their playoff run a couple of years ago. You know, he was one of those guys that we thought, okay, if he can get going, maybe he could play a really solid middle six role. Victor Rask has apparently found his game again for the first time in, you know, two or three seasons. And, you know, that team is just coming together. They're probably the most surprisingly deep team in fantasy. And, you know, you look at what Cam Talbot did over the weekend, posting a shutout, talked about him and Kokkonen last week and that timeshare up there. So there's a lot to like there. And there are a lot of different depth pieces that you could really, really be targeting right now for some great exposure on that team.
How far are you willing to go, James, with the Wild? I mean, are you dropping a player like Tyler Toffoli, who cooled off after a hot start? Are you looking at guys like that to maybe cut the cord and get this Wild team? Or do you expect maybe a little cool off here for Minnesota?
If I can get a guy like Zuccarello right now, I would definitely be looking to drop a guy like Toffoli. I mean, Zuccarello is still only rostered in 44% of Yahoo leagues, so he's pretty readily available. I'm not so sure I'm going to run out and grab a guy like Victor Rask. You know, I did have him on the waiver wire this week with Zuccarello just because of the exposure for both of them with Kaprizov. He's only rostered in 3% of leagues, so I'm going to hold off on him right now in most leagues, deeper leagues. And if you have a streaming spot and you can afford it, absolutely, I'd go take a flyer on Victor Rask. When you look at, you know, the matchups they have this week, obviously a couple of tricky matchups with the Vegas Golden Knights, but also two matchups against Arizona. So I think, you know, there is definitely some potential there. But yeah, a guy like Zuccarello, I would be comfortable going out and dropping Toffoli for.
Yeah, in one of my leagues over the weekend, I think maybe on Friday after the Wild game, I dropped Oliver Bjorkstrand, one of my personal favorites, but it doesn't matter at this point in the season. You're looking for results here and now, and Zuccarello has been killing it, you know, close to 2 points per game this year. Nobody expected that when he played in the bottom six last year. So, like, I made that move. I think that, you know, one guy that I was contemplating dropping, I'm happy I didn't, was Burakovsky, because he had a nice little 3 points in two games over the weekend for the Avalanche. And so the patience has paid off with him. But for Minnesota, like, you're also looking at which defenseman is going to join this party and become really fantasy relevant. I know Ryan Suter has not been nearly as good as he was last year, but we saw a little flash over the weekend from Matthew Dumba. So that is a little indicator. Maybe it could be Dumba if he's on that power play one, returning serious fantasy value the rest of the way.
Yeah, no Minnesota defenseman right now with more than 8 points. Jonas right. Brodin, Dumba, Suter, all tied with 8 points there. And none of them really producing on the power play either. You know, all three of them only with one power play point this season. So I'm fading Minnesota defenseman a little bit. But definitely, if you can get anybody in their top six right now, and if you can get one or both of those goaltenders, I would take it and run.
So one of the safest teams in fantasy is the Vegas Golden Knights. We have Alex Tuch on the list, James. This is a player Pete and I really, really feel strongly about in fantasy. Now he's got the lineup placement that we like to see alongside Mark Stone, who's got 17 points in 17 games. What do you like about Alex Tuch this week on the waiver wire?
Well, there's a lot to like about his game. He's one of those guys who for such a long time, I think all of us were saying that, you know, he would be a top six or even a top line forward on, you know, 2/3 of the teams in the NHL. And for the better part of his entire career with Vegas, he had been on the third line there. And you know, now he's starting to get the chance. He's on that top line. And yeah, he got shut out on Saturday night against Anaheim, but he still had 3 shots on goal and 1 hit. He's just starting to shoot more. He's starting to come into his own. He's getting the opportunity now. 16:53 of ice time the other night. His previous game before that against Colorado was almost 19 minutes of ice time. You know, he's seeing high teens, you know, 16, 17, 18 minutes right now. He's seeing good shot volume. And obviously we know that he can be a scorer and he can be effective like that. So playing with a guy like Mark Stone at even strength is definitely just going to help boost him. You know, he had 20 goals a couple of years ago. He has 7 right now in 17 games. I easily think he can get, you know, 15 to 20 goals down the stretch of the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like Tuch because he covers hits. We had him on our preseason sleeper list. And yeah, he was, you know, he's been a big surprise so far, even when he was playing on the third line. And now he's up top with Stone. That's a coveted exposure for sure. Those two guys played together for some small stretches in the playoffs last year when Vegas was really starved for some offense and they were generating chances together, but not quite busting out. But I think we'll see that in the coming games against some of these, you know, some of these middle or bottom tier teams in the West. And then, you know, a couple other key returns over the weekend, right? Like Robbie's guy, Samsonov came back, got the win. Anthony Cirelli, another big one that I know people are trying to add at all costs if they can from the Tampa Bay Lightning, especially now that he's playing with Steven Stamkos. But what did you guys see from those two guys and how big of a boost could they be if you've been holding on to those guys to this point in the season?
Well, James, let me speak here for Cirelli. I mean, Pete, in a faceoffs league that I'm in right now, like this is a guy you absolutely need to pick up. Not only is he confirmed to play at least 17 minutes of games, it seems from John Cooper, but he's winning a ton of faceoffs. He's getting points. He's getting really everything you need in that exposure, James, to that Tampa Bay Lightning team. Despite not having Kucherov, it's so impressive how these guys with their depth at forward with Barkley Goodrow, the list goes on and on, right? You can't miss Blake Coleman's another name there. So I think Cirelli's the guy for me, Pete and James, that just really, if you need the safest kind of pickup this week, if you are in a faceoffs league with those extended categories, he's 100% minted as my number one guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I know Bobby ripped on us last week when Pete mentioned Cirelli's name. Yeah.
It's not a reason to
put away the hammer.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on, it's Anthony Cirelli. Let's calm down. I understand he's valuable for some fantasy teams here and there, but to put away a hammer because Anthony Cirelli is not in the lineup. And Robbie got the hammer. He got the sledgehammer. He's 1-0. James, we'll go over your sledgehammer scenario in a bit,
we'll talk about that.
Ahead on Cirelli.
But yeah, you know, again, if you can get guys with exposure to the top six for Tampa Bay this late into the season, even if they're only going to be there for a week or so, it's something that you have to jump on right now. And definitely if you can get a guy, go out and grab a guy like Cirelli, rostered in only 42% of Yahoo leagues at the moment, you know, covers all categories really solidly, 25 shots on goal, 16 hits. And like Robbie said, if he's in a If he's in a face-offs league, he covers all of those categories really, really well through 13 games this season. Definitely you have to be running out and grabbing a guy like him.
And he's a guy that can return fantasy value, even if he's on his own on the second line without any superstar fantasy talent. But now that he's got Stamkos there, you like him even more. And one fan was asking me yesterday, and, you know, you're surprised by your answer, but not really when you really break it down. I mean, like, the guy was asking, should I cut the cord on Zibanejad and pick up Cirelli? And, like, you know who the safer guy is right now. You know who the much better team is. You know who the more sound overall player is, and it's Cirelli. So, you know, we hate to say that. We hate to admit that we probably shouldn't have taken Zibanejad in the top 30 overall in preseason drafts. But at this point, you're looking for results. You're looking to cut your losses and pick the better player for the rest of the season. And I would go with Cirelli. What do you think?
Well, I would say this, Pete. I might be the only guy that hasn't dropped Zibanejad yet. I'm holding on for dear life, James. I just can't get rid of the pedigree. I can't get rid of the nameplate. Bob, I see you shaking your head too. No.
I actually like it. You know, I feel like diamond hands with Zibanejad, right? I mean, it's at some point you have to imagine some of these goals have to drop for him. He's in his own head, though, as we've said many times. But you're right, Robbie. I not that you're right, but I'm smiling because I can understand why you would hold on as a Zibanejad.
And I think I'm just waiting to see that game, but it's unfortunate. Even when the Rangers play well, like they did one game against the Bruins, like when they score a lot, it's like Zibanejad's still not getting a goal in that game. And that's what's the frustrating thing for me. Now, he is winning faceoffs. His shot volume is slowly trending up. But I think when you're looking at dropping a guy like Zibanejad for a Cirelli or even for a Lars Eller, who's also on the waiver wire piece, like Lars Eller is another tremendous player in a faceoffs league. He's getting points now. He's getting top line exposure there for Washington. But I just have that small little caveat that those guys could easily go down to the second line or even third line, depending who's hot for their respective team, since Washington and Tampa are so good.
Thing I worry about with Eller is just that, like, when Kuznetsov comes back, I don't think Eller is going to be in the top six, and it's not even to his fault. Eller is a nice player, but with Backstrom and Kuznetsov there, it's just, he's more of a stream. Like, Eller is like great team. I mean, that's all you can really say. When he gets this opportunity, he always takes advantage of it. We know that if it's a 5 to 10 game stretch, you'll want him on your fantasy roster. It's just when the guys come back, it's a tough thing because Washington's so deep at center, and it just happens every year. It happens sometimes in the playoffs and Eller rises to the occasion, but nothing more than a stream for me, I would say.
Yeah, I'm streaming Eller right now. And that's pretty much what I said this week in the piece. He's there. You know, he's the first line center with, I think he's playing with Ovechkin and Connor Sheary down there right now on that top line.
Yep.
He's there, you know, as a placeholder until Kuznetsov gets back. And then he's going to go back down to, you know, the third line, and they're going to reshuffle. I think they have TJ Oshie as their third line center right now. So that just shows, you know, where they are with their center depth after, you know, Kuznetsov and Backstrom, if one of them is out. So yeah, I'm not, you know, I have Eller on there for the short-term stream, but I'm not dropping a guy like Zibanejad right now for him, just because I know that Zibanejad is going to cover a lot of categories, especially, you know, in shots on goal. At some point, these are still going to start going in for him, and I think that he could finish the season with somewhere between 10 and 15 goals, which is a lot lower than anybody projected for him, but I think that he still has a viable chance to hit numbers like that.
So let's talk about some surprises here. We had Drake Batherson. He's on a 5-game point streak right now for the Ottawa Senators. That team, whether they win or lose, is scoring goals in that North Division. If you're playing in it, you're going to score no matter what team you're on. So I love this Drake Batherson pickup. I also like the Phil Kessel angle in our waiver wire piece this week, James. Now, the only downside of either one of these players, they're both -7 to date in the season. If you had to go one way or the other, Kessel or Batherson, where are you going?
I think I'm going to go Batherson just because I think that there's a lot more upside there. You know what Phil Kessel is going to be, but he's also a very, very streaky player. I think with a young player like Batherson, you know, he's already, you know, set career highs in all of his categories, 7 goals, 8 assists, 15 points, you know, 52 shots on goal. It just seems like Ottawa is giving a lot of these younger players the chance to just go out and play and see what they have. And, you know, I like what they're doing right now. They're starting to be a little bit of the pesky team that we thought that they could be, you know, going into the season. You know, he's playing on that line with Stützle there. So, you know, he's definitely has that exposure to young guys who I think can grow together for a while. He's third on the team in shots on goal right now behind Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot. So, you know, he's starting to take more of an offensive role, and I'm interested to see where he can go, but it just seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence right now, and that Ottawa, because of where they are in the standings and because of how young they are just going to let these kids, you know, run wild and say, just go out there and let's see what you can do.
Yeah. I would also go with Batherson in that comparison, just because of the category coverage. Kessel, even in his prime years with the Penguins, was not covering hits or anything. I think he was one of the worst forwards in the league in terms of hits. One of those guys that you look at the end of the season, he only has like 10 or 15 hits on the whole season. But yeah, anyway, Ottawa's depth is really nice. They got the Stützle Batherson line going right now. They got Dadonov on his own line. And then the other line has Brady Tkachuk, their best player. So even though they're a bottom feeder, it doesn't show it some nights when they're putting the puck in the net and scoring multiple goals from different lines in the lineup. And, you know, some of the teams like Montreal and Calgary and right, some of these fringe teams, fringe fourth playoff spot competitors, like they're having trouble with Ottawa, and it's because of that forward depth. They can match some of these teams out there. So yeah, Batherson's the pick for me over Kessel.
So I think, James, there's going to be two players we could talk about here for the New York Islanders. I'll lay out Nick Leddy at least for you, and just tell me what you're going to expect from him in fantasy. It looks to me just so far that we're getting vintage Nick Leddy here, who was fantasy relevant for a few seasons in a row.
Yeah, he really has probably been the most complete defenseman the Islanders have had for the last two plus seasons since Barry Trotz took over. And you know, Trotz has always said that since he came there, Leddy is his exact type of player that he wants, is a guy who bought in defensively. And you know, now you're starting to see a lot of the Islanders players two plus seasons in to, you know, this regime with Trotz starting to finally get comfortable playing the whole game, and instead of just the offensive side of the game that they played a few years ago. And look, Leddy was underwhelming the last couple of seasons. You know, he went from three straight seasons of 40 plus points to two consecutive seasons under 27 points. And now he's at 14 points in 21 games this season. So I think we're definitely back to, you know, the Nick Leddy, not so much a scoring Nick Leddy, but definitely the assist guy, Nick Leddy. And, you know, 7 power play assists right now in 21 games. So definitely a guy you want to be jumping on if he's available.
Now, the conversation around Nick Leddy, I might be a little late to the party on this. He's approaching Gorianov status, Oliver Wahlstrom. I like what I see out of this kid. I'm not the only one. All right. He's always in the mix. He's growing. Where is he on the waiver wire? And how many fantasy owners own him? What's the percentage owned, James? What do we got?
So he was on the others to consider for this week. He's only 2% rostered.
Oh, he could play.
He's only 2% rostered in Yahoo leagues right now. He had a power play goal and a power play assist in their win over the Penguins last night. That's 4-game point streak, 5 points in that span, 3 power play points. This kid, he's starting to get comfortable. He's playing on a really dynamic pairing with Jean-Gabriel Pageau for the Islanders at even strength, and on that second power play unit with Leddy, with Brock Nelson, with Anthony Beauvillier. So that's a really, you know, dynamic young lineup right there. And yeah, I mean, Wahlstrom, everybody said the year that he got drafted that he was probably the best pure shooter in that draft, and you're starting to see it now. 4 matchups in the next week against the New Jersey Devils and the Buffalo Sabres. I want to see what this kid could do with a more expanded role.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that third line of the Islanders with Pageau and Wahlstrom looking more like a second line, right, over the Beauvillier, Nelson, Bailey line that we saw play so well in the playoffs last year. Those guys have not been worth rostering in fantasy, that trademark second line for the Islanders. So you kind of want to see Wahlstrom play more in the top six. You want to see him play more on the first power play, and that's like one of those things that the Islanders have been lacking for years, a young player to integrate into their top six and become like a breakout type player. We thought maybe it would be Beauvillier this year, but he missed so much time and he's kind of hot and cold. So maybe Wahlstrom's just worth keeping an eye on out there. And one note I wanted to say on Nick Leddy, he leads the Islanders in power play points. You mentioned his 7 power play assists. He's got a power play goal too. That's his only goal of the season. So 8 power play points leads the Islanders. That's worth mentioning for fantasy for
Nick
sure.
He's got a bomb, Nick Leddy. And with Wahlstrom, I'm on the bandwagon, but here's the problem. And Robbie knows it. Everybody knows it. The moment I get on the bandwagon, it's very rare. I mean, the Gorianov bandwagon took off, but I'm going to jump on the Oliver Wahlstrom wagon. And this guy is going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. It's not going to work out well, but I'm rooting for the kid. The Islanders need some injection of youth, a guy that can score and create plays. And that's what he seems like he's doing early on here as I see him play these games. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah, if I were in Yahoo, James, I would just check the star next to his name as a player to watch. The only reason I'm not running out and jumping on him, I like the player a lot. And Pete, I think I can, we've talked about this at length for the past two seasons. If the Islanders just had a guy that can come in and score consistently, that would be one of the hardest teams to play against in the whole National Hockey League. They've just been missing that. I think it is Wahlstrom, but just look at his time on ice. He's barely cracked 10 minutes in his past 5 games. That's the only thing that worries me. And Barry Trotz is notorious for doing that to young goal scorers until they learn how to play two ways. I think Wahlstrom can absolutely play on the power play and you're going to get some value there, but I want to see that tick up to 12 minutes, 13, and then he's cemented in the Gurianov conversation.
Yeah, the comparison that a lot of people put out there when he was drafted was Patrick Laine. And, I think that it's a little premature to call a guy like that Patrick Laine, but you see some of the goals that he's scored so far, and especially that snipe that he had on the power play last night. He's a pure shooter. And that's something that the Islanders have lacked for a long, long period of time. And so if they can put him in a position where he's consistently just shooting the puck, he has a ceiling that's up there as being an elite goal scorer. But then the other guy who we should talk about for the Islanders too is the goaltender. I mean, how about Sorokin last night, right? Two back-to-back shutouts in his last two games. I think, we've talked about him a few times. Or more than a few times.
I would say about a thousand times we mentioned him, and it's finally coming to fruition for Petey here. He's had a nice few outings, which is good to see.
We just have to hope that he starts to see consistent playing time, which Barry Trotz has hinted at right now, is that, with the Islanders, their schedule is about to get really tight. And Trotz has said that Sorokin is going to start to see more time. So 27% rostered right now. He's gotten better and better every game. If he's out there, you have to go pick him up right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you see like so many other rookie goalies emerging. I know him and Shesterkin were the guys we had near the top of our list entering the season, but don't be surprised if Sorokin gets back into that conversation over the course of the season when he gets more playing time. And we dubbed him as the shutout king coming in as a prospect for a reason. That was his specialty, out in the KHL before he came here for many years, leading the league in that category. And we've already seen 2 so far. And the one thing that happened that's going to earn him more playing time is he beat the Penguins. The Islanders could not, stand to beat the Penguins. They couldn't do it for some reason, even though they're both, right around each other in the standings. The Islanders haven't lost to the Bruins, but they couldn't beat the Penguins. Now they beat the Penguins because of Sorokin. So that'll earn him some brownie points, right? And get him some more starts moving forward, maybe even the next time they play Pittsburgh.
And if anyone's still hesitant on picking Sorokin up, I would throw this argument out there that we've seen Varlamov previous seasons get hot to start the season. He always cools off, and then he's always susceptible to losing playing time. We saw it with Thomas Greiss before, right? So now Sorokin really is the real deal behind him. And I would say if Sorokin's available on your waiver wire, absolutely cut the cord on someone that's not playing as well and go for the younger guy. I do have to say, I watched Samsonov return for Washington, and he gave up a couple soft goals to the Devils. I know we got the win, but this does not inspire confidence in me for the rest of the season. I mean, if you think about Samsonov, fellas, he's played, what, like 10 games in the last year because he missed the whole return to play, right, with an injury. So he's hardly played at all. He needs reps, whereas Sorokin seems like the guy that's pretty fresh right now.
I let Petey talk about that. Just a little mental note. I'm going to do this live on the show here because we're talking about Varlamov. We got to get our pal Brett Amadon on. Where has Brett Amadon been? It's been almost a year we haven't heard from Brett Amadon. Brett, if you're listening, which you're probably not, this is a call out. We're calling out to you. We're going to see if you want to come on the show. I don't know if, you know, we got to go through the proper protocol, find out. But Brett, it's been about a year. We haven't heard from you on Brendamore, Varlamov, nothing. So maybe we'll get him on in the upcoming shows. Now, fire away on Samsonov here because, boy, are the Capitals desperate for Samsonov to be the goaltender they expected him to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think Washington's got to really start getting it together here because we even saw a bounce back over the weekend from Philly, right? Back-to-back shutouts for each of their goalies. And I know some of the metrics aren't on their side, but if Carter Hart starts getting going and the Penguins hang around and the Islanders look like a playoff team, and I know the Bruins have had some issues, but they corrected it on Sunday, there's going to be a good team that misses the playoffs in the East Division. And could it be Washington? Could it be Pittsburgh? Could it be any of those teams that I just mentioned? Sure, it could be feasibly if one injury maybe doesn't go their way. But you hope that Samsonov just gets some continuity going and can stay healthy in the lineup. And he has a great pedigree. Robbie talked about it before the start of the season. I mean, there's no reason not to expect over the course of the rest of the season that he can't finish among the top 10 goalies in the league based on quality. So I'm not like super worried about Samsonov, but yeah, definitely that first outing. Let's see how he does against some of the other top teams in the East, not against the Devils and, you know, Buffalo whenever they play them. Let's see when he gets those real deal starts and what he's made of. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Samsonov didn't have the greatest outing yesterday, but you also have to remember it was his first game back, in what, over a month or so. I think you got to give him a little bit more time. You got to let him get back up to speed. He faced 21 shots. He still got the win. So at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, did he have a great outing? No, but you just got to give him a little bit more time to kind of just get back into things. And he's been sitting on the bench for the last week and a half. He's been cleared to play, and they just haven't been playing him. And you just got to give him consistent time and let him get the speed. And I think that he's going to be fine. I agree with Pete. I think he has the opportunity and the chance to finish as, one of the 10 or 12 best goaltenders in fantasy from here on through the rest of the season.
Well, and the good news too is that Washington has the most goals scored outside the North Division, along with Chicago. They're tied with 72 each, so that team can score at will. The other good news, where you can trust Samsonov, not right away, but as James said, with playing time, they have the most man games lost by a mile in the division. They've had injuries left and right. They've gotten through adversity to the most part, so all they need is some continuity now. And I think with Chicago too, with that stat thrown out there, you have to look at this team, James, and say if any one of these guys is still available on the waiver wire, like Chicago is now moving into that conversation where they are not so much of a risk as they are pretty much turning into a consistent team, which is shocking.
Yeah, I don't think any of us expected that. When you look at, the guys that they have in their lineup, especially missing Taves the way that they have, this season, we kind of had a feeling that, Kane and DeBrincat and guys like that were going to be, the consistent producers. But, Carl Soderberg, 5 points, 10 shots on goal in his last week. Adam Boqvist, I think, has points in back-to-back games with a few coming on the power play. So there's a lot to like there, and there's definitely more depth there than we were expecting heading into the season.
I like Boqvist for sure. That's one guy that, like, I know he missed a ton of time. I think he was on the COVID protocol list for about a month or something. But anyway, he's got 8 points in 12 games, and Robbie knows at the defenseman position, there's not much out there. So, and then back to the standings conversation, the more I watch Columbus and the more I watch Chicago, like, I'm losing faith maybe for good in Columbus. Unfortunately, I was high on them, and Chicago just continues to prove themselves. You know, even though they lit up the scoreboard against Detroit, you know, it doesn't matter. You got to win most of those games. Your offense gives you those vibes that carry over to the next game and prove to you that you can be the team that you've been so far and continue it. Even if, you know, the shot attempts aren't on your side, you know, statistically and stuff like that, and people think you're going to regress, if Lankinen and Kane and DeBrincat and, you know, some of these young players, so many good rookies on that team, believe that they can get to the playoffs, they might get there. Dallas is also like buried in the standings right now. So Chicago has a good chance to make the playoffs.
Well, James, didn't you call Dallas missing the playoffs, I think?
I did have Dallas missing the playoffs this season. Yeah, I was not as high on them as a lot of people were. But the other thing you have to remember with Dallas is they've only played 16 games. So they have 7 games on hand compared to Chicago. Now, they are 12 points behind Chicago in the standings. So, you know, they need a lot of help there. But, yeah, I'm not super high on Dallas. I think, you know, outside of the big guys, the Hints, the Gurianovs, Belsky, you know, guys like that, there really hasn't been as much depth there as we were anticipating going into the season. And yeah, Chicago's been probably the most surprising team in the NHL this year, second to maybe a team like Vancouver just being as bad as they are, or Minnesota being as surprising.
Okay. Is there any other waiver wire notes you want to get to before we start going through the Monday slate? And I also think we all deserve, we're talking about Chicago. We'll get to them. We have to acknowledge Patrick Kane, 400th goal. It was a beauty last night. But go ahead, Robbie. What else? Waiver wire notes.
Yeah. Well, goal 400 is incredible. I mean, Pat Kane, he's got so many individual accolades to play for. That's another reason you can probably feel pretty strong about Chicago's offense for the remainder of the season. Beyond that, though, going back to Columbus real quick, guys, I got a question on Twitter. Are these now drop candidates from the Blue Jackets? We're looking at guys like Roslovic, who had that nice start there with them. We're looking at Bjorkstrand, Atkinson, who are, in my opinion, still good streaming options. But I kind of agree with Petey. I mean, I think you said it really well when you said that Chicago's beating teams that they should beat. Columbus, on the other hand, is not, right? And that's where I start to worry about those guys as streaming options now. And I'm almost rather, guys, I'd almost rather have a spot open for a guy like William Karlsson or an Alex Tuch or anybody like Zuccarello, Victor Rask at this point than a Blue Jacket.
I agree. I think like we were high on the trade, and like, of course, Line A is worth keeping and stuff like that. But you don't know who Line A is going to be playing with on a game-to-game basis. We haven't seen we've seen inconsistent value from Seth Jones. We've seen hot and cold stretches from Atkinson. Roslovic, great start. Still chips in some points every couple of games. But like, again, is it wowing you? Is it breaking the bank for you in DFS or in season long? Probably not at this point. So if the right guy comes up like a Zuccarello or like a Cirelli or, you know, one of those guys that we've been touting the past couple of weeks, you know, you got to make the move. You can't like be married to Columbus and go down with the ship. I mean, if the coaching situation is not working long-term, then it's unfortunate. But, you know, the reality was like Columbus was not providing immense offensive value anyway. Their leading scorer last year didn't even have 50 points. So we were, of course, expecting better things this year. But if it's not going to materialize and we're at the halfway point of the season, almost like you just move on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there are some guys definitely I'm holding on to, you know, a guy like Roslovic, Atkinson, you know, Bjorkstrand is one of those kind of fringe guys. You know, Line A, Seth Jones really hasn't had the year that we've expected him to have. So, yeah, it's been a disappointing year. But one guy I would definitely also take a look at on the waiver wire this week. One last waiver wire note before we get into the slate for tonight. Ely Tolvanen from the Nashville Predators, points in 3 of his last 4 games, had a power play goal last night against Columbus, 11 shots on goal in his last 4 games. He's skating on the top line at even strength with Granlund and Forsberg there. And on the power play, he is skating on the second power play unit there, I think. So he's been elevated to the first power play unit. So definitely look at Ely Tolvanen as another guy to put a star next to the watch.
So we've got some great games on Monday night here. One game, it's a little bit random that I actually have my eye on, is the Blues versus the Ducks. Now, if anyone saw the Blues game against the Sharks over the weekend, I guess cooler heads prevailed from that one after Jordan Binnington got the hook there and made a little scene on the way out, so to speak. But 7-6 game, it seems like that St. Louis team really needed that victory badly. They've won 6 out of 7 of their last road games now, and I think they go into Anaheim. And Anaheim's a team, though, that desperately needs a win. I do like St. Louis in this game, but look for Anaheim. I mean, all they need is just one goal from Trevor Zegras to get something going here.
I think the Blues really need to win games like this because they've had trouble. As much as that one game was a bit of a laugher with the high score the other day, they've lost a couple of games to the Sharks, and they almost lost that one. And they've lost a bunch of games. They lost a 7-game series to the Coyotes. They got shut out by the Kings the other day. I mean, where are the wins going to come from if you're not beating teams like that? You're going to have a tough time beating, teams like Vegas and Colorado, of course. So, you know, you got to beat teams like Anaheim for sure. And the one thing that we mentioned on the previous show as, you know, not a pipe dream, but, you know, something maybe a little ways off. Now it sounds like Tarasenko could come back at any point during this current road trip, which is really significant. He's fringe top 50 overall player, right, James? And the lineup implications, if he plays like with Braden Schenn, you know, it could hurt someone if they get bumped out of the top six, whether it's Kyrou or Perron or, you know, someone like Hoffman. But, you know, definitely for the overall outlook of St. Louis, it's major, major news that this thing could be coming in the near future for Tarasenko.
Yeah, I think over the weekend he skated with their top line and took some contact drills. So, you know, definitely it sounds like Tarasenko is probably going to be coming back in the next few weeks, which is really good and something that they definitely need. A game I'm looking at tonight, actually, just based off of our Batherson conversation from before, I kind of like the Senators at plus 140 against the Flames, minus 165 for Calgary. I think that's too huge of a discrepancy there. And Ottawa's been playing really well lately. They're 5 wins in their last 8 games. And they split their last series with the Flames. So I kind of like Ottawa tonight against Calgary at plus 140.
I think that's great value, to be honest. I mean, Calgary, as we know, you can't get too high on. Just because they won a game 6-3 does not mean that they are winning back-to-back against Ottawa. I will say that there is good value for 2 home dogs tonight in the Edmonton Oilers. Keep an eye on if Matthews is good to go in that game. If Matthews is out, I would go with the Oilers. And then the other team I like at home is the Panthers at plus 105. Man, fellas, this Panthers team is legit. They keep rattling off these wins. And if they don't win, it's a close game, right? They're never out of it. So I like that play a lot. Now, I'm not pulling out the sledgehammer for any of those picks or for St. Louis tonight, but I would just check the lineups cautiously. And if Matthews is out, I like Edmonton a lot too.
Instinctually, I liked Edmonton, and for sure, if Matthews is out, I like Edmonton. The watch game of the night is Minnesota-Vegas, and I'm not taking out a sledgehammer either as I look at the board, but I would just say if Vegas is zeroed in and focused and ready to play, I would take I like Minnesota a lot, respect Minnesota a lot, but I would take Vegas at minus 140. Just they're a better team, and hopefully they play a better game. I think that the price at minus 140 is right. If it starts going up to the minus 160 stuff, I wouldn't touch it. But I like Vegas tonight to beat Minnesota. Just overall, they're the better team. And I have to respect what Minnesota's doing, but I would just lean to Vegas there. Small little lean.
That's going to be really, really interesting to see the setup for the rest of the year. Sorry, I cut you off there, Pete.
No worries. Yeah, I was saying, like, for Minnesota's goaltending, like, it's getting to the point where they have, especially after Cam Talbot came back and only allowed one goal. I mean, it's like, and we went into that game on Friday. I remember we were talking about it once we heard Talbot was starting. We were like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're leaning the Kings now. But that is one of the sneaky goalie tandems that for the rest of the season that, you know, we were talking about Talbot being kind of a low key sleeper this year because of Minnesota's strong defense. But, and then Vegas, like, I love their offensive capability, but if they're going to play a low scoring game, Minnesota can beat them. So it's definitely like a litmus test game for Minnesota. They've passed a bunch of them so far this year, but let's see if they can knock off the Golden Knights. Vegas only barely squeaked by Anaheim the other day.
Well, great show today, James. Hey, thanks for joining us. If you have any more ad drop questions, get after Waiver Wire James on Twitter at that exact handle. I'm at NHL Reese. PD's at NHL Jensen. We're at NHL Fantasy together on Instagram and Twitter. Our Instagram is blowing up. So keep the questions coming, keep the comments rolling in, and the reviews for the podcast as well don't hurt.
Yes. Keep the reviews coming in. And just for you fine folks out there, the USA born career goal record is Mike Modano, 561. Okay. Kane, say he plays till he's 40. He needs to average about 18 goals plus a year. And he's going to break that record. And he'll, if he does 23 goals a year, he'll get to 600. I think Kane's going to get to 600 goals if he stays healthy. James, thanks for joining us, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, guys. Always great. And, Bobby, just to clarify from everybody, I still have not hit on a sledgehammer yet. The sledgehammer did not go into effect last week because they did not start Cal Peterson against St. Louis. They started Jonathan Quick. And the caveat to the sledgehammer was if they started Cal Peterson. So even though I got it right that the Kings won, it doesn't count as a sledgehammer.
Well, at least you're fair about it. That's why I wanted it on record. That's why I wanted it in writing on Twitter, Waiver Wire James. But yes, you right now are 0-0. You have no record with the sledgehammers. We're waiting your sledgehammer. And by the way, you can do it on Twitter. So if it's a Wednesday night or a Friday night, you just got to tag us, let us know sledgehammer's out, and you'll get credit for it. Doesn't have to be said on the program. Petey, put a bow on it, Peter.
I like it. Thanks for coming on, James. No sledgehammer for me as of now, but we'll touch base with you later if anything changes. But again, for Rob Reese, James Harding, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again later this week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for tuning in.